T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Over the weekend, and was talking about how bad the defense was in the NBA All-Star game, and I said we're waiting for a 17-14 hockey game too. It's what it's supposed to be. Matter of fact,
it's supposed to be entertaining. The thing that I saw from the All-Star game was a bunch of guys out there playing pickup basketball, having fun. That's what it should be. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. It's supposed to entertain. You know, you saw LeBron James dunk it behind his back, and you know, Zion Williams trying to do spin-a-rooney dunks and all the other stuff. That mm-hmm. to me, that's what the All-Star game is.
Yeah, I agree. And so that's why I don't really – I mean, I'm not – some people get all kind of – it's not real basketball. Well, no, I don't really understand why people get all in their feelings about it's not real basketball. I mean, you know this going in, and if you think you're going to have a problem with it, then okay, fine, don't watch. You know, that's all I can tell you. You know, and then people are also getting really mad at the dunk contest, you know, saying this is, you know, a bowl of suck. And, you know, they – you know, and again, they were forced to squeeze it into halftime this year because of the COVID. But at the same time, there's really no way. I know that there were Pacers fans out there that got really mad that they think that, you know, Cassius Stanley got robbed in his first dunk in the scoring. Okay, that's usually the worst place to go is first. You don't want to be first because you're probably going to get a low score. Or a lower score, but there's really no way to fix the dunk. The problem with the dunk is we've seen everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing original, you know, because you're talking about what he had on the, what was it, Tracy McGrady jersey or whatever?
Yeah, Simons, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, it's you're just trying to find ways to do this, what's already been done and what's already been, you know, judged and, you know, trying to, you know, look back in the archives and see what the judge is like. Because it's all about the people on the panel, what they like. Mm-hmm. And what they find, you know, impressive. You know, so yeah, I think that's what it is. But for what it is, and it's part of the All-Star game, I mean, I didn't have a problem with it. I didn't.
No, again, you know, you're going to get what you're
going to get. It was just, you know, my biggest thing I would probably say, John, was it just felt a little rushed. That part of the All-Star game felt a little rushed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they wanted to get back to the game and stay on, right? And again, next year you're going to have it back on All-Star Saturday. You know, I talked a couple of years ago, I don't know, maybe it's been longer than that, where I said, you know, I took a bunch of calls about how do you fix, because it was one of the years we had the slam dunk and it was just stupid. And it was getting to theater. It may have been the year that Blake Griffin jumped over the car. And it was like, okay, this is getting ridiculous. Because they made a big deal of him jumping over the car, and as it turns out, he jumped over, like, the hood. And it was like, okay, I mean, a lot of people can do that.
Yeah, that kind of put him on, though, with yeah. Kia and everybody, didn't it? Or was that before Kia? Like, he jumped
no,
over.
I think that
he
was a jumped Kia. Over I think Kia. Yeah. No, I think that was a Kia, yeah, that he jumped over. I think everybody expected him to jump over the car, and he jumped over the hood, and people still said, well, anyway. You know, I was like, you know, is there any way to fix the dunk contest? And we started thinking out loud on the show, and I think one of the things we came up with, you know, maybe you do it as a tandem event, you know, two guys. And then you can throw it off the backboard or double throw it off the backboard to each other and then slam or, you know, do something that would be at least different, that would look original, because there's really – you can't do a windmill. You can't bounce it off the backboard or off the floor. You know, just, you know, blowing the candle out. I mean, we're reprising all of the great dunks of everybody else in the past. You know?
Yeah, but the Anthony Simons dunk that he did, you know, kiss the rim or mm-hmm. kind of kiss the rim, that was pretty cool. I mean, but to your point, yeah. I mean, it ain't too much that hasn't been seen, you know. It really isn't. So yeah, it's kind of hard to get excited about it when, like, as old heads, we've seen it all. But the young kids like it. The young kids probably thought that was probably the best thing to see ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, it all depends.
I'm not saying get rid of it. I'm just saying, you know,
I know you didn't, John. I'm just trying to put it in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's different for us because we saw Michael Jordan, we saw Dominique and those guys do. We saw Spud Webb. But for the young kids, you know, their generation, they probably think it's exciting, you know.
Yeah,
so there's that.
And look, and they're talented guys. I mean, I think they did some talented dunks. I thought they were all very pretty good. I know some people thought, you know, it got to be milquetoast, but, you know, I thought they, you know, obviously they could jump, they can jam, they're throwing it between their legs and, you know.
Doing everything that I can't do.
Yeah, I tell you what, you know, if you go back to the beginning of the dunk, slam dunk era, I mean, if they were doing these dunks in the beginning, we'd be jumping out, falling out of our chairs that they could do this stuff. I mean, but now we've seen it, it's like, oh, okay, we've seen this before. But I don't know. I don't know how you fix it. I mean, I don't know how you tweak it. You know, they've added down the, you know, in the last couple of years, this Mountain Dew ball to the 3-point contest where they're shooting from.
Now that's pretty dope.
Yeah. I just wonder if you need to move it farther back. I mean, have another contest.
Steph Curry, probably. For Steph, maybe. For Steph, yeah, definitely.
Or maybe you have another contest, which is, you know, top of the key and then 29 feet, then 35 feet, then midcourt. You know, I mean, just keep moving back and, you know, and do a long distance kind of thing where you're, you know, firing it, because these guys shoot the game that they shoot. I mean, when you're getting pull up jumpers there with Kyrie knocking down half quarters, like, it's, you know, nobody's business, and they're just jump shots from half court. It's like, okay, all right, whatever. Yeah, I mean, the game has changed. It is a bomber game now, stuff that you wouldn't have seen a long time ago. It's different, that's for sure. Morning show with John and Hugh. We get the All-Star game. I think generally the reviews of Atlanta were pretty good for what I saw. I mean, I don't know how you judge a city on a one-day event, but
it was packed. From what I saw from the pictures, it was a lot of people here. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I guess, you know, you talk about some of the things that individuals had going on and the people that came to the city that didn't actually watch the game, you know, in the venue. I think it was a success. I think that a lot of business owners, you know, they came up this weekend. I mean, you know, that I think is a success from that aspect. And I just hope, you know, nothing happened too crazy for a lot of people.
Yeah, right. And look, I'm all happy that we're getting events back and we're going to start getting fans back. And it looks like we're going to start getting fans back faster than I even thought that would be possible. I think I asked a question a couple of weeks ago about, you know, when the next full house was going to be for sports, you know, and would we have a full house for, you know, the Super Bowl next year or something like that. And it's starting to look like there's some baseball teams that are starting to say, Hugh, in 3 weeks, we're going to open up full house opening day. And so here we go. All right, let's see how this goes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of people are getting vaccinated. A lot of people are feeling a little bit more comfortable about being out. So, you know, I think that's going to be a part of it.
Yeah. So I think we're seeing, you know, signs that we are winning this war against the COVID, that this thing is about to be at some point this summer, or maybe even earlier than that, you know, pretty much over. So I think we can kind of, like, you know, start thinking about going back to normal life, which is great. As for the Hawks getting back to business on Thursday, they will have had this downtime to kind of rest and recoup. But boy, Hugh, this packed in NBA schedule they've got going here is so intense. And it's not just the Hawks. Everybody has to go through it. It is draining. The Hawks will play Thursday against Toronto to start the second half of the season. They are one game behind Toronto, and Raptors are currently in eighth place in the East. So, and the Hawks start the second half only three games behind Boston, which is in fourth place. So everything is in front of them for Coach Mack and the Hawks. Hopefully you get DeAndre Hunter back at some point in the second half, but, you know, they're relatively healthy now. You got Bogey back, you got Gallo back. The team is relatively healthy, and you've got this, like I say, it's a daunting schedule, but, you know, a challenging schedule, but everything that you wanted to is sitting in front of you. You can make the playoffs with this team.
Yeah, it's not over with yet. It's not over yet, and I'm pretty sure Coach McMillan has stressed that fact, you know, talking about what they need to do moving forward as far as winning these games and how much of a daunting task that's going to be, because I think they're going the road. Like, this is a nice little road stretch for them. So, yeah, it's going to be a daunting task, but it's something that they can get done. They can definitely get it done.
Yeah, that road trip you're talking about comes up on March 20th. So in about 2 weeks, they go from March 20th to April 1st. In 12 days, they play 8 games on the road in 12 days. It's like, okay. It's like every other day, you know. I mean, they literally play every other day. and eight road trip games, and they're playing like the Lakers and the Clippers and the Spurs and they end in New Orleans. I know that. And there's a couple other West Coast teams in there. I think they play the Suns and the Jazz. I mean, it's just like, okay, good luck. But they're going to be starting in L.A. and then working their way back east, and they have a very tough road trip. But the good news is that if they can survive that trip, this is the good news. If they can get to the 1st of April and be within striking distance, because they are so front-loaded in the second half with this huge trip and there's so many road games in the beginning of the second half, the end of the season, they play 7 of their last 8 games at home. So, you know, Hugh, if you can get to that, you know, where you have a chance to make the playoffs in the last 8 games and you got 7 of the 8 at home, you'll take your chances.
Yeah, you just got to get past this road trip. I mean, you know, not trying to get too far ahead of yourself, but, yeah, they got a daunting task ahead of them with this road trip, definitely.
Yeah, and then, you know, they lean on, you know, hopefully, you know, the fact that they were able to get rested up and healthy during this All-Star break. And it would have been great to see the Hawks. I mean, DeAndre Hunter was the only one voted into anything. He was in the skills challenge, but, of course, he was in the futures game.
The futures game, yeah.
But he wasn't able to play, obviously. And I know that people, you know, got all mad and flustered about the fact that Trey wasn't on the All-Star team, and we don't know really what's going on there with that, or, you know, why he wasn't in the three-point shootout, or somebody was representing Atlanta that wasn't just a judge. But he wasn't. But whatever's going on there, we can kind of put aside here. Let's hopefully we use this to our advantage. Maybe it's a good thing that he wasn't there, because more rest is, you know, to get ready for the second half isn't necessarily a bad thing. You know, so but you're right. I mean, you made a point, I think, last week. He's, what, 22, something like that, right? He's going to be fine. He's not going to get tired.
He shouldn't get tired. He's a young man.
Yeah.
So, you know, they just need to get on the same page. You know, they need to figure out how they're going to handle the second half of the season. Mm-hmm. You know, the changes have been made, and you know, the expectations are still the same. How are you going to get to the playoffs?
Right.
You know, just get there. Like, that's the task at hand right now. How you get to the playoffs?
Right. How do you get to the playoffs? What do you have to do to – you know, what's, you know, now the good thing is we'll get a real sense of any changes that Nate McMillan wants to make on the team, because they've had a little bit of time to practice. Not much, but a little. And we'll see what kind of changes the team has. Also this week, going to be big with the NFL. A lot of NFL news. Stand by for big breaking news all week because of the number of players that could be cut to make room for the cap and reworked. And, you know, we're talking about the potential of hearing about trades and what more could you want if you're an NFL offseason fan. All that ahead. We'll get Hugh's thoughts leading up to what could be a very busy week in the National Football League next with John and Hugh on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. NFL headlines brought to you by Cool Ray Heating and Cooling's Lifetime Parts and Labor Warranty. And this is going to be the big week. Again, 1 week from today, free agency begins. All right, technically it's legal tampering 1 week from today. And then free agency, that's the 15th. And then on Wednesday the 17th is when the league year begins and free agency can sign. But if you've been paying any attention over the last couple of years, once they allowed for legal tampering, we all understand that on Monday is when we'll get word of all the news will start to drop next Monday, players agreeing to go as free agents. And this week is going to be about either cuts or restructuring for all the teams trying to work around this new lower cap, and the cap, of course, dropping because of the COVID down to 180-some million. So teams are like the Falcons are going to have to, you know, there are some teams that have plenty of money under the cap, Hugh, and they're going to be out there being buyers, you know, the Dolphins and the Jets and the Browns and teams like that. The Jags. The Falcons are not. The Falcons are kind of in the same boat with the Saints and the Pittsburgh Steelers, where you're having to create cap room because Falcons got to clear $20 million worth of cap space in the next 5 days.
Yeah, and they got to figure out how they're going to do it. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see who gets restructured if they go that route, or who gets just flat out cut.
Yeah, you mentioned restructuring. I mean, you saw, Pittsburgh restructure Big Ben's deal. Over the weekend, you saw or heard news maybe that Cam Jordan had restructured his deal down in New Orleans. So, yeah, will the Falcons restructure a deal or two? And, will they restructure Jake Matthews? Will they restructure Grady or Julio or Matt or any of the bigger contracts that they have? Grady, I can certainly see as a restructure, Grady's got a number of years left. The question is, do you want to restructure somebody like Julio or Matt, you know, for, you know, a 5-year period, you know, counting on whether or not they're going to be here 3 years from now. You know, that's the thing. And then you're, you know, going to have to deal with, you know, they're dead money on your books and they're not even playing for you anymore. So that's the big decision you have to make. You know, you pay the piper at some point in the in this whole process. And the question is, do you want to pay the piper now or later? And a lot of teams are able to push it down the path a little bit, but eventually it starts to sneak up on you. And the Saints are in that mode now. Nobody is farther under the cap than they are, and they are really underwater down there. So, and here's the problem with New Orleans, Hugh, is they haven't heard because Drew Brees hasn't made any announcement as to whether or not he's going to play for them.
I mean, I think he's still figuring it out. They haven't pushed him out. I think they're still leaving it up to him what he's going to do. But even with that being said, John, if Drew Brees decides to play another year, they'll figure out a way to get him on the roster. And I can't see anybody. I don't know any team that's worried about the dead money that they have on the cap or anything. I've never heard that being an issue for any NFL team.
Well, I mean, it's an issue that you can't go out and sign free agents. I mean, that's the issue. I mean, you really are severely limited to who you can bring in.
Okay.
Yeah, that's you know, that's really kind of the issue more than anything else. It's, you know, I mean, you usually could keep your own guys, but being able to go out and get anybody becomes problematic. Yeah, you look around the league, I don't know what's going to happen this week. Nobody's been tagged. There have been no franchise tags. Now, franchise tags aren't – I think when they first came into the league, they were somewhat popular and people would use them and the teams would use a franchise tag. And then I think we got to a point where a couple of years ago we were seeing something on the order of like 4 or 5 guys get franchise tagged. But this year so far, none. And we have some big questions that have to be answered here shortly, not the least of which this week is Dak Prescott. You know, what are the Cowboys going to do, Hugh? Are they going to tag him? Are they going to sign him? What's going to happen here with Dak? Are they going to trade him?
I have no clue because I think that Dak's still, you know, dealing with his rehab, and I'm pretty sure that they're probably monitoring that as closely as possible. But as far as what they're going to do with Dak, I mean, right now, even though Dak didn't play, it feels to me like Dak's holding all the cards because right now the Dallas Cowboys don't have a quarterback. And, you know, from everything that I've heard coming out of Dallas, they're talking about Dak's their guy and they still want him to be there and things of that nature. So if that's the case, then you got to pay Dak. That's how I see it. And I can't see Dak, even though he was hurt, I can't see Dak going in and not, you know, taking a pay cut, if you will, or taking less money. I think that the jumping off point for Dak is going to be where he left off at before he got hurt. You know, that's what I'm thinking.
Oren sends me a note saying the Broncos are going to place the tag on one guy in a safety, Justin Simmons. Okay, well, and again, players are going to get tagged this week. And it wouldn't shock me if Dak gets tagged because I don't think Dallas wants to necessarily deal with this. I don't know what's going to – look, we have to figure out – we know that there are certain guys that are certainly out there. When we just talk about quarterbacks that are out there kind of on the market right now, Jameis Winston's out there on the market. Now Alex Smith is out there on the market. Cam is out there on the market. You know, there's a lot of talk, you know, chatter about, well, will the Patriots bring Cam back or what do they want to do at quarterback moving forward? But we still don't know about, you know, the big three, Deshaun, Dak, and Russ. And there's more chatter, Hugh, a lot more chatter about Russ being traded. And, you know, and now all these stories are coming out inside leaking about Russ. I don't really know what's going on up in Seattle, but whatever's going on, it sounds like it's not working out for Russ the way he wants it to work out.
You know, what you're talking about as far as what, John? Because I didn't see this story.
You know, he's not getting enough say, you know, in personnel. He's not getting enough say in the offense. I think he's thinking that his future, you know, in Seattle is, you know, they're not really trending in the right direction, you know, in terms of being able to go forward to making it back to the Super Bowl. At least I get that impression. And so much so that, you know, all the chatter. Now, again, it's just talk. I get that. But a lot of times where there's talk, there's, you know, I mean, when we're talking about him going to the Bears, is that an improvement? Maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe it would be. He would certainly make – boy, can you imagine if the Bears got Russ? That would make them – I mean, they've been –
I mean, they're a pretty good team. They got a pretty good defense.
Right.
I mean, they're a playoff team. So, yeah. I mean, I could see they're probably feeling like they're a quarterback away.
Mm-hmm.
So, I could definitely see him going there if that's what he wants to do. I think the story evolved when we heard that Russ wasn't happy with some of the decisions that were being made. Now, I don't know what to believe and what not to believe, John, because I think that sometimes these stories, they evolve and become, you know, they get a mind of their own. So I don't know what's true and what's not as far as he's concerned and whether or not he wants to get out of Seattle. I don't know what to believe when it comes to that, because at one point you hear how, you know, he's not happy about the protection, and now you hear he wants to get out of Seattle. So I don't know what to believe.
Yeah, and then we hear all these, you know, rumors about, well, how about, you know, sign and trade with Dak, you know? They would trade Dak to Seattle for Russ, and then, or they would trade Dak to, you know, the Arizona Cardinals for Kyler, or, you know, again, this is all just kind of off-season speculation until it actually happens, but we have to have some resolution here fairly soon with Deshaun Watson. Of the three, look, Hugh, if Russ ends up back in Seattle, it's not going to surprise me. If Dak ends up the quarterback of the Cowboys, I sort of expect that. But Deshaun is in a different boat. Deshaun has made it pretty clear he ain't coming back.
So, and I don't think Deshaun, honestly, John, I think we're at the point now when it comes to Deshaun Watson, even though, you know, we're not close to having a football season, he's probably not going to play this year. He's not, because the Houston Texans are dug in on their position, and it sounds like he's dug in on his. So he's probably not going to play this year. It would not surprise me at all if we are into week two or three and there's still no issue resolved when it comes to Deshaun Watson and what he's about to do.
You know, you're probably right, Hugh. And a matter of fact, when you say it, it makes perfect sense. And if that's the case, how stupid, how inept is that organization? I mean, oh, my God.
Well, really? I think they're willing to, they want to see how serious he is about it. Because right now, like I said, there's nothing on the line, John. No skin in the game, if you will. I think they want to see how serious he is about it. Now, I don't think that if he decides not to play, I give it the first month of the season before he's moved. But he's going to get moved because now it's serious. Now they know how serious he is about not being there.
Wait, you don't think he's serious? I mean, they don't.
I don't
understand?
Know, John. I don't know what they think. I'm not asking you.
I'm just talking. I'm just kind of, you know, Cal McNair, is that stupid? Is he sitting there playing video games again, sitting on his floor?
He might feel like he's not that serious. They might. Oh, he'll be all right. Give him a couple months. You know, give him a couple months. He'll be okay. You know.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think so. I don't think they. It's like they're not paying attention. I mean, I feel for. You know, Cully has got. You know, you know Cully personally, Hugh. I mean, gosh, he's your guy. I feel for him. I mean, I'm glad he's got a chance to be a head coach. But boy, he's been put in a tough spot.
Cully gonna make it work. I mean, he has no choice. I mean, he knows the position that he's in. He has no choice. And I'm pretty sure that if they don't have a quarterback, they're making contingency plans as we speak. Always got to have a plan B. Always.
Oren contends that he saw this thing. He was shooting all these texts over the weekend to us about this savage sports moment that he saw. He's gonna lay this out for us, and we're going to try and have some fun with it. Let's see what Oren's got of a savage sports moment he was witness to in Atlanta that had nothing to do with the All-Star game and had nothing to do with fights between mothers of eight-year-olds. We'll do that as we continue next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.